This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Art music is a vast, complex and dynamic genre filled with beauty, joy, strangeness and wonderment. And you'll find all of it here, in the joy of classical music. Kia ora koutou, I'm Andrew Johnstone, and welcome to episode 170 of The Joy of Classical Music. This week, it's all about Soviet-Ukrainian composer and virtuoso pianist Nikolai Kapustin. Last week's episode featured two jazz-influenced classical works by Kapustin. Energized by the joy and verve of his style, this week I decided to dig a little deeper into his repertoire and devote the whole episode to his music. As with any other overlong episode, the broadcast version will be fading out at the 58-minute mark, but never fear. You can stream the entire episode here at Free FM or on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. From 1991's Three Impromptus, we opened with the man himself performing Impromptu No. 2, a work that blends the structural elements of classical music with the rhythmic and harmonic language of bebop and stride piano. I'll be playing three works, 1986's Sinfonietta, 1984's Piano Concerto No. 4, and from 1990, we'll be closing with his Chamber Symphony. But first, to his pianists Ludmil Angelov and Daniel DiPino with Kapustin's paraphrase on Dizzy Gillespie's Manteca, a reimagining of Gillespie's 1947 Afro-Cuban jazz standard. The composition weaves bebop, syncopated Latin rhythms, and jazz harmonies into formal classical architecture. At age 14, Kapustin applied to study piano at the Moscow Music College. For his edition, he played a sonata he'd written himself, and the faculty were so impressed with the work that he was selected to study composition. The young Kapustin was horrified. He wanted to be a pianist, not a composer, and after his mother and music teacher interceded on his behalf, he was reassigned to piano school. In 1956, he was accepted for elite training at the Moscow Conservatory, where he undertook a formidable study regime that included Liszt, Beethoven, Prokofiev, and Bartok. All through this, Kapustin was tuning into the forbidden Voice of America, the place where he discovered jazz. Voice of America began broadcasting across the Iron Curtain in 1947 to counter Soviet propaganda and to give Soviet citizens an uncensored view of life and politics outside of the USSR. And Kapustin later said that, from the very first moment he heard jazz, he wanted to play it. From 1986, here's pianists Frank Dupre and Adrian Brendel performing Kapustin's Sinfonietta for Four-Hand Piano, a work that demonstrates how to integrate different classical forms with different jazz styles. And if it sounds improvised, it isn't. The work is a strictly notated reminder that before anything else, Kapustin's style is firmly rooted in classical tradition.
Thank you.
until the death of Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin in 1953, jazz was deemed a dangerous, pernicious cultural contagion and a tool of decadent American capitalism. But during the cultural liberation that followed his death, authorities conceded that the ban on jazz was failing. So, rather than forbidding it, they regulated it. During this period, the young Kapustin formed his own jazz group, which played once a month in a Moscow restaurant popular with foreign visitors. One night, an American patron recorded a performance, and a few weeks later, that recording was on regular rotation on Voice of America. Pianist Yu Zhuang and the Mahler Chamber Orchestra were scheduled to perform Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 2 at the Opera Berlioz for the 2025 Radio France Festival. At the last minute, Wang, who was also conducting, swapped out Chopin for Kapustin's Piano Concerto No. 4. The audience, who were expecting Chopin, were less than impressed, but Wang's rousing performance quickly won them over, and the concert was deemed a success. Thank you.
Thank you.
Upon his graduation from the Moscow Conservatory in 1961, Kapustin learned that he was being sent to Kazakhstan to teach piano and accordion. Appalled at the prospect, he called on the help of friends, and after some bureaucratic manoeuvring, he was reassigned to the Oleg Lundstrom Jazz Orchestra. From 1961 to 1972, Kapustin toured extensively with the orchestra, performing, arranging and composing, a time he later described as his second education. A largely self-taught composer, it was the success of his second piano concerto that gained him admission to the powerful Union of Soviet Composers in 1980. By the time of his death from COVID-19-related pneumonia on the 2nd of July 2020, the 82-year-old Kapustin had composed over 161 works. Influenced by Scriabin, Rachmaninoff, Chopin, Ravel and Bartok, Art Tatum, Oscar Peterson, Bill Evans, Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea and Errol Garner, in 2026 Kapustin's reputation continues to grow and his music is widely celebrated, performed and studied. Next week, it's episode 10 of New Adventures in Music, a series within a series about the thrill of musical discovery and the joy of listening. I'll be playing new music from composers Celia McDowell and David Sisko. There'll be a little something from Kiwi pianist Michael Houston's new album, Outside the Window, selections from Roots and Rivers, a new album by the Santa Fe Choral, and the featured work is Forgotten Dances from Scottish guitarist Sheen Sheba's new album, Vespa. Composed in 1990, Kapustin's Chamber Symphony is a mix of big band swing, bebop rhythms and jazz textures, all set within a non-improvisational classical orchestral framework. One of his more serious and intricately constructed pieces, it's marked as notoriously difficult to perform. His conductor Frank Dupree and the Württemberg Chamber Orchestra of Heilbronn. Thank you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.